Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
I don't love this particular solution because we can't act as if there isn't a cost. Right now, the intensity of the rivalries in the division and the fact that winning the division means something, it matters and it makes the games more fun. And you see that different divisions in football develop different styles of play in order to beat each other, which then makes it even more exciting when we get into the playoffs. I do think that we have to acknowledge that it comes with the cost. And the cost is to be like all the other sports where the divisions don't matter nearly as much. And right now, I love that the divisions matter a lot. I love that in the offseason, teams are spending a lot of their time developing their roster and their schemes to beat the guys in front of them. It matters and it's fun to me.
Dominic Foxworth on the proposal to change the NFL playoff seating. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Nate Geary in for Joe today. We'll get into this a little bit. Had some numbers on it for you yesterday. I have come all the way and decided firmly, yes, I am a vote yes to changing the playoff seeding.
You convinced me, actually, yesterday.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I was kind of a firm no for almost the exact reasons Dominic Foxworth had mentioned there in the clip.
On that clip, how right is that? Ready?
I don't think it's that right.
If that's true, I'd like you to name for me the different styles that each division plays.
Yeah, there's not a triple option.
No. I think the first thing you'd say is the AFC North is rough and tough. Okay?
Sure.
Next division you'd like to say has a division identity. The AFC South is a bunch of random teams that nobody cares about.
Their scheme is that they're all bad.
What are the divisional identities? The NFC North is
cold.
Two domes and two cold teams.
Yeah.
The NFC West is
California,
Seattle,
yeah,
Arizona. I mean, are there? Sure, rivalries. Sure, there are some rivalries. Who's the Bills' biggest rival right now?
The Chiefs.
Yeah. Who's Baltimore's biggest rival? The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Who's Kansas City's biggest rival?
The Bills.
Maybe the Bengals. They don't get along with them. Who's Philadelphia's biggest rival? Is it? I mean, the Niners, they got kind of nasty for a little while there.
It did.
Maybe it's the Giants. Okay, it's the Giants.
Sure.
Like, sure, you play a team a lot, you're going to have rivalries. But the point made there by Dominic Foxworth is the same point the NHL makes. You're forcing rivalries rather than just let them be organic.
Yep.
Just let them happen. Anyway, all right, here's where I land on this. And if you want to give us a call, 803-0550. We expect two votes in the NFL today on two different rule changes. And I've posted a Twitter. If you had to vote for passage of one, which would you vote for? Banning the tush push, changing the playoff seating. I think neither is expected to be passed today, but we'll see. Might be close. They need 24 votes to pass. And if you had to vote for one, to pass one, ban the tush push, change the playoff seating.
Definitely playoff seating. I think it affects more teams.
Sure. I think that's right. The banning of the playoffs, or rather, the changing of the playoff seating to me seems more reasonably justified than the tush push, which my biggest reason to ban that is just I think it looks lame. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
And rather than make a point about safety, I just don't like it. My team does it. My favorite team.
Right.
And I still like. I don't really like that.
Still don't like it.
I like the regular quarterback sneak that we lived with for decades and decades. You just have that one back. Okay, so can I find 24 teams that should vote to change the playoff seating? And here's how I would lay this out. The NFL is not equal across all 32 teams. Bills fans, we knew this during the drought, and we now live on the other end of it.
Mm-hmm.
During the drought, the Bills were in a division with Tom Brady, and he ate their lunch every day. Or ate them for lunch, or with both.
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 Ate them and also
the
ate
Bills
their
were
lunch.
Obviously not a competitive team. to a level to talk about a Super Bowl, but they were also probably artificially low based on losing to him 36 times. How many times did the Arizona Cardinals have to play Tom Brady? I think it was twice.
Yeah, not
nearly as much. The Bills had twice a year.
Yep.
If the Bills were in another division during the drought, chances are they probably make a playoff appearance once. I would stand by that.
I would too.
The same way that you might say if the Bills were in the NFC, they might have a Super Bowl appearance by now because there's not Andy Reid and Kansas City standing in their way to knock them out four times. Instead, it would be, oh, can you get by the Niners, a team that you've dismantled in the regular season twice now? Can you get by the Rams, another team that you have shown some success against?
Yeah.
You know, the format, whatever, you don't have to change every format. Who should vote for a change in the playoff seeding? Let me give you three teams. New England, Miami, and the Jets. Because
yes.
The reality is, hey, it would be nice to have a home playoff game.
Las Vegas, LA, Denver.
Yes.
All of them should want
We're up to six.
Yep.
Because how are they going to host a playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
You can either beat Josh Allen out in a season, something that has not happened since he's basically become who he is. You could beat out Patrick Mahomes. Or, then again, if you're like, you know, the Falcons, you can beat out the Bucks and Baker Mayfield, who's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Not the same. The parody of the NFL is supposed to bring worst to first. It's supposed to, the turnover is there. They like it. They want it to feel like the Titans aren't that far away. How far away are the Titans? Not that far away. They are in a division that does not really have any sort of king
right
in it in the same way that the AFC West and the AFC East do. So if I'm in a division like that, of course I want to beat that team. I'm not going to stop trying that. But what is the Las Vegas Raiders' best chance to host a playoff game in the next 15 years?
This format.
It's the rule change.
Yeah.
Because they might get a wild card. They might finish 12-5.
Sure.
What are the chances they get over Mahomes? I don't think they're very good.
I don't think they're good at all. Yeah.
If you're in a division that is stacked, like Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
The NFC North.
These teams should realize, rather than try and get to the top of my division is the only way I can get a home playoff game. Meanwhile, teams that are not that good in divisions that are weak, they get one?
Yeah.
That's not exactly fair.
And like yesterday, I think we were joking about the Mannings, right? But when did Manning finally beat Brady? When he had him in Indianapolis.
He had a home game.
And I think if the league, and maybe the league doesn't want this, but one of the great things, and I talked about this yesterday, one of the great things about the NBA playoffs right now is there's one of these four teams are going to win the championship. Three of them have never won. The last time one of them has won is the Knicks in 73. That's good for the league. It's new markets. It's showcasing new players. The NFL has the same teams over and over again.
Yeah, we have a bit of an illusion of parity in the NFL.
Yes. It's the same. I think there's parity in the bottom half of the league where bad teams can be better and then decent ones can go bad. But there isn't that change every year where there's new blood, new teams, new quarterbacks, new faces in the Super Bowl or really even in the Final Four. I mean, in the Final Four in the AFC, it's been one of three quarterbacks, four quarterbacks.
And we saw that for a long time during the Brady, Roethlisberger, Manning era where one of the two was in the AFC Championship game for 13 consecutive years.
Right. And all we talk about is everything's going through Arrowhead all the time.
Yep. I support it.
I do too.
The tradition of the divisions, the tradition of the AFC South. I mean, the AFC South Invitational, we kind of joke about that. I'm sure the teams in the AFC South
probably don't. But
who knows, right? The Saturday playoff game that starts every single time, it's that division. I just think that these divisions are romanticized in a way that isn't really represented. It isn't real. Now I have four division winners and three wild cards. I almost have as many teams that didn't win divisions as did in the playoffs. There are eight division winners and six wild cards. And I don't know if they'll expand that, but I want to say it's possible. They're always looking to get more
games. It's possible. I wouldn't doubt it because I do think they eventually will want to get back to a place where two teams get a bye. I do think they miss that.
Yep.
I think the league probably wants that.
Are they going to give three teams a bye then? Because what's the number go to? Does it go to nine teams per conference?
That'd be too much.
I don't know.
Be too
but
much.
The divisions themselves, I mean, they've been around for 20 years now. Are we like, when did the Colts leave?
Yeah.
It all happened when the Texans came in?
Yep.
Okay.
And they had to
So it's been a while with eight divisions, and the math of it works out really well. But if you missed it yesterday, we had the numbers on this, that the winning percentage of teams that finish with the 4 seed versus teams that finish with the 5 seed outside of their division, it's not close.
Mm-hmm.
5 seeds, what are they? Often, they are teams in a really good division that have a great record beating the rest of the league.
And there are a lot of times, in the case of last year in the NFC, was the loser of the NFC North the second best team in the NFC?
Yeah. What you have is, we're going to play the entire league together, everybody. Everybody plays your schedule. And then, whoever has the most wins, not in your division.
Mm-hmm.
You can go 6-0 in your division and not win it because you finished behind a team that had a better record than you.
Right.
Which is kind of strange.
Super strange.
Right? Let's say the Patriots go 6-0 in the division and finish 11-6. And the Bills go 12-5. The Bills are the AFC East champs.
Yep.
That doesn't exactly make sense, but it's true.
Yeah, so you can't necessarily say this current format is all about division.
Because it's not. It's who had the best record in your division.
Yeah.
So when doing the division, it's the best record is the top seed. And yet when doing the actual playoffs, it's who won the division. It's not your record.
And your division record is what, the third tiebreaker?
Well, it's the first tiebreaker in your actual division. It depends if like you're going for an AFC record.
Yes. Right, because it's conference record and it's like opponents, and then I'm pretty sure it's division, right?
Yeah, in conference, it's head-to-head, conference record, common game, strength of victory, strength of schedule. There is no division.
So there you go.
The division record comes in, I think, when there's three-way ties. Yeah, divisional tiebreakers, head-to-head, then divisional record.
So it's not even really being used as a tiebreaker.
No, head-to-head is first.
Yes.
So if you were to go 2-0 against the Patriots, but have a worse division record than them, your head-to-head wins.
Yes.
It's a little bit of strange math here for the divisional records. I support it. I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's, you know, any sort of crime if they don't, but what would the result be? The reason they want to do it is not even really to reward home games. The best example of this are the Rams and the Texans last year. I was listening to the afternoon show. I think it was the afternoon show. Somebody was breaking this down.
When the Rams didn't care about their last...
The Rams and the Texans knew, okay, we got our home game.
Yep.
The division is over. We got our home game. We don't really care about the 3 versus the 4.
Right.
We got our home game. We can shut it down for 2 weeks, basically. Had this new format that they're talking about approving go into effect...
It would have forced them to be...
Yeah, because they could have dropped all the way to the 7.
Sure.
Houston would have gone from playing at home to going on the road to play the 2 seed Bills. There's 2 weeks left in the season. You could go anywhere from 3 to 7 in the standings.
That's...
You have to continue to play.
Yep.
You're not going to be rewarded for the fact that no one in your division
has
challenged you.
Right.
It's over for you. You're 10-7. Congratulations. You're going to get the 4 seed. So if you want competitive games late in December, this format would make it more likely that a team would have to continue to play.
Right, and the only reason the Bills continued to play was because they're still mathematically available for the one seed. But they were the only team in the AFC with a shot at it.
Right.
No one else was.
Right. Had the Bills lost to the Chiefs on that game in November, we would have been talking about the Bills resting their starters for 2 weeks with 2 weeks to go, 3 weeks to go. Well, we know they got a home game. Don't get anybody hurt. You're not going to get the one. You're probably going to be about 2 or 3. It would not have just been, you know, take Josh Allen out against New England. The second to last game of the season would have very much been like, eh.
Right.
Whatever. Don't really need anything here. Take a month off. You're locked into a home game, and you decide if the 2 versus the 3 versus the 4, how much that matters. So to keep the playoff race alive throughout the entire year, I think it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. 803-0550. If you want to throw a thought our way on this, we're happy to have a conversation either way. I've been convinced. Brad in Pennsylvania. Hey, Brad, good morning.
All right. Hear me out. I still think the division winner should get the upper seat. So say Houston wins their division at 10-7. Buffalo wins theirs at 13-4. But Miami wins the first wild card at 12-5.
Yeah.
So Miami has a better record than Houston. And say they also have a better record than Baltimore, but Baltimore is 11-6. So Baltimore is a higher seed than Houston. So Houston has to play Miami. They're still the 4 seed, so they're playing the 5 seed. But because Miami has a better record, they get home field. And if Miami meets Baltimore, they get home field because their record's better than Baltimore's as well. But they're still the fifth seed. So
you want to keep the seeds but have the game hosted by the better team?
But with the better record. That's correct.
Why wouldn't you
hang up, listen to your comments?
Well, Brad, let me ask you this, though, Brad. Why would you want to do it that way? Why would you not just give Miami the higher seed instead?
Because Miami didn't win their division. The division winner.
But it still
count.
If I understand, I just want to understand here. They didn't win the division. You wouldn't give them the number next to their name, but you would give them the home game.
The advantage of it.
Right. Right, exactly. So they would still be considered the number one wild card. But if they play a team who is a higher seed, but they have a better record, they will get the home field.
I guess
otherwise, Miami will not be the number two seed because they have the second best record.
Okay, but let me ask you this: whoever wins that game and then goes to the next round, who hosts? Is it the team with the best record?
Yep, the team with the better record will host.
Okay, that's basically the proposal. It seems like you don't want the seed. You don't want them to get the.
But it's not a proposal because if Miami is the fifth seed, they're the first wild card.
Yeah.
They will play the fourth seed, and if they will have the home field advantage because they have the better record. Now when it comes in, if they play, they're the fifth seed. If everybody wins out, then Miami would have to go to the number one seed, which just say it's Kansas City. It's always Kansas City. Well,
so it's really just about the matchup, less about the home field.
It's more about the matchup, right, and then the home field is based on your record. Does that make sense?
A little bit. I'm getting it as it's less about who's playing where, but more the integrity of wanting to play, to keep the seeding the way that it is, but move the idea of the home versus away game, kind of, right?
Right, okay. Exactly, Nate. That's exactly right. So the seeding will stay the same, but where you play will be based on your record. That's all.
Okay. I guess I don't understand why the need to compromise that.
Yeah, that just makes it a little more complicated. But what he's saying is, instead of it being this year,
instead of the team, instead of the number one wild card that has a better record than the division champ,
that would only
getting the higher number. They just get to host that team, but not get the higher number.
That would kind of only affect one or two matchups, though. It would affect either the 4 and 5, maybe the 3 and 6.
I mean,
it would never affect the 2 and 7.
Right. What you would be saying there? Okay, here's a better example, or a different example, Brad, is I'm trying to understand what you're offering here. The 6 seed has 12 wins,
mm-hmm.
hosts the 3 seed that had 11.
Yes.
The team that has the 12, the 6 wins. Do they go to Kansas City because they're the 6 versus just having given them the higher seed? That's what he's getting at. Loosely, I believe.
Yeah, it just gets convoluted.
I tend to agree that I don't understand the need to compromise that. Why wouldn't it just be okay to give Miami, they finish with the second best record in the AFC? Why is it wrong to give them the 2 seed? They're the second best team.
Yeah.
The Bills win 15. Miami wins 13. How many years has this happened? There's a year where Jacksonville and Tennessee in like 2001 or something, 2003, somewhere along the way, Nate, the Jags went 14-2, and their only two losses were to the Titans.
Mm.
And the Titans would have been a wild card team that year, and then they beat them in the playoffs again and beat them all 3 times.
Right.
Might have been the year the Titans went to the Super Bowl. Maybe.
Okay.
But the point is, in that scenario, which again, like this is it rare? It's not even about how often the records end up this way. What the league's main motivation is don't reward Houston,
mm-hmm.
don't reward the Rams because their division turned into a mess and they're 9-6 and we know they're going to get a home game. Instead of just saying like, okay, Rams, you can kind of hang out for a while because you've already got your home game. instead of allowing them to bank that, you'd say, like, no, you got to keep playing for that. Top four teams, in this case, number one's on a bye, 2, 3, and 4 in record are going to get home a home game.
Yeah.
And again, like, to point out divisions, how do they decide the number one seed? It's only record. How do you decide who won the division? It's only record.
Yeah.
How do you decide seeding? That's when division shows up. It's the first time it shows up. Your division record doesn't show up. Your conference record isn't what gets you the one seed. This is not like in college football, there's a little bit of a marrying of this as well. Your overall record versus your conference record.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NFL, we have all the other stuff as tiebreakers. Actual only record is king. That's if the Bills.
You're right. It's so much different in college football because you could go 0-4 and out of conference play and go 7-0 in conference play and go to the championship.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful.
He's done it again. See ya. A monster two-run home run.
All the wild.
Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
All the weird.
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game against an undefeated team.
Right.
Because the division and conference matters, but there are more than three teams that you're playing.
Right.
And I think for the league to not use division record really in any other...
It's just a tiebreaker.
And it'd be so punitive in how they place you in the playoffs, I think it's closer to getting the division a little bit more balanced, where there's so much that goes into the division in terms of winning it, but it's only record. It doesn't really have to do with your division. Yeah, I think we're all just a little flawed on what the division value actually is. Because to your point, it's just the better record. So it's right now, I think there's this idea that divisions really matter in the current seedings.
And they kind of don't.
Who's got the better record?
The only thing that they continue to matter for is this home game.
It would matter.
Which I guess is the point that many are making. If you got rid of this, the division would entirely go away. Like, okay. You'd still get a playoff spot locked in. You get a berth, right? That's like winning the Patriot League. Like, okay, you made it to the NCAA tournament. You win that, you get in. But you're not going to get a high seed because of it.
Right.
You're just going to get in. So it'd be a little bit more like that kind of format. 803-0550. Thanks, Brad, for the phone call and the thought experiment. Anybody else wants to throw something our way? Happy to have you. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe. Nate's in for Joe today on a hump day Wednesday here on WGR.
It's the return from Reinhardt. Now out to Barkov. Matthew Tkachuk with it once again. Here's Barkov. Down low. Backhand shot. Score!
Florida beats Carolina in game one of the Eastern Conference Final. Saw a video there. Somebody posted. Eric Staal, special assistant to the Sabres GM, is in Carolina rooting on. His brother's on the team, so I guess we'll allow it. Had Kevin Adams been there next to him cheering, we'd have an issue, right? Kevin Adams not allowed to cheer for Carolina. At least not publicly.
Yeah, no, not publicly. Staal, you know.
His brother's on the team.
I guess we're all collectively lucky Joe's on vacation. I'm not sure how Joe would have handled
it. Yeah, he might not have handled that well. That's probably right.
And you probably were starting the show with that if Joe was here.
That's right.
He would have came in. He would have been here early. He would have carved out time. And Joe does not like the Carolina Panthers.
Hurricanes.
That's what I meant.
It's wow. Carolina wow. V the Panthers.
Wow. Yeah, there goes my morning brain.
It happens. Carolina. Jeremy and Joe. Nate's in for Joe today. Joe's on vacation this week. Nate today. Sal's in tomorrow. You can give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Really no rumbles on this Sabres senior advisor conversation, huh? It's pretty widely reported they want someone like that, and Eric Staal has been the only front office addition. If they don't get one, does that just kind of go away? Oh, I guess it didn't happen. They changed their mind. I mean, they haven't come out and said that they want that, right? Like, Adam's looking for help.
Do you think there's a chance that they're waiting for Brendan Shanahan to get fired in Toronto and try and steal him away?
That would be another example to me of, can they get him?
Right.
Who can they get? They want a senior advisor. They want somebody. They want another. I mean, unless they think Eric Staal is just that, like another set of ears to hear ideas.
I'm just not sure what credible veteran person in the NHL is signing up to be Kevin Adams' understudy.
Yeah, Shanahan definitely wouldn't be an understudy.
Sure.
And is this role, are you giving up power in this role? I don't think so. I mean, why would Kevin Adams give up power unless he was forced to?
It feels like a resume builder for someone that's already going to have a very good resume. Like, that's kind of how the role feels.
Like Eric Staal. Like, yeah, a former player who doesn't have any experience in a front office getting experience. That's who they're going to be able to get.
All right, friend of the GM.
Right. Or literally someone that's 75 and is trying to cling to any remaining relevance in the NHL.
I feel like most names would be fine with me. Lou Lamoriello, I heard how terrible that would be from a lot of people. I didn't think that was going to be terrible. Yeah, I think it'd be fine. Not that he would actually take that job, but that was a hot rumor for a few minutes, of course. They had reached out to him. He was not interested. Then he spotted in town, reportedly renewing his Nexus. Any hockey credibility to me seems like a good idea. It'd be hard to convince me there's a bad idea. In fact, bad GMs get multiple jobs. Jason Bottrell is the GM of the Seattle Kraken. He was horrible.
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 Terrible.
He got another job. And maybe that'll work out. Ken Holland has had some pretty rough times, some pretty good times, some pretty rough times. He's now in L.A.
Yep.
So there are, you would think that with the way that this league keeps people employed, the NHL, and you could just fall out of one job and get another job. Like Phil Housley was an assistant coach.
You need one of the guys that's outside the top 34.
Like 37th?
Yeah.
Can you get that guy?
Sure.
That'd be fine, I think. Any more resources for Kevin Adams to work with, I suppose.
It's kind of like a waiting list. If you're 37th, two general managers get fired, you automatically moved up to 35th.
I say this to not be snarky at all. Who does Mitch Marner love? Because they got Taylor Hall because of Ralph Kruger being here. And can I... All right, hold on. Does Mitch Marner's dad want to be the assistant? Do you think I'm kidding? Just get good players. How do you do it?
Yeah.
Who would Mitch Marner say, like, you know what? Yes, I now believe in the Sabres, and I will sign to play there because they hired
Josh Allen.
This Josh Allen can be the special assistant of the GM.
And just for Mitch Marner. Special assistant for the Mitch Marner convoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that too far? Is that a bridge too far? Back when the Sabres had Eichel, there was some reporting that they might hire his college coach David Quinn.
That's right.
Which, of course, they did not do. And I remember at the time it was mocked, like, yeah, right, please, David Quinn, going to be an NHL guy. And then what did he do? He got an NHL job.
Yep.
And was just a coach in the NHL for a couple years.
They did also get Eichel's college teammate.
Two NHL jobs.
Evan Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks less and less like it was a favor to Eichel and more and more like Evan Rodriguez can play hockey, which scratches or whatever, which opens an old wound because Evan Rodriguez played for the Sabres for multiple seasons, was obviously reasonably good, and they didn't know who was a good player and who's not. He was on the Panthers' top line last night. You know, like just another guy who, he's not some game breaker, but he could play the sport. And they would have rather rolled out Vladimir Sobotka. I don't know if those two crossed over at the exact same time, but Rodriguez, Erod, he's another one. It's like, this guy actually is not terrible. He's a fine bottom six guy, in the case last night, on the top line. I don't know. With the Sabres, we'll see. The Amerks play tonight against Laval. It's game three in that series. It's tied at one game apiece. So hopefully they can get through Laval tonight. And they got to win two out of three there on the road. The deal 2-3 format. Three straight in Laval. Tonight, Friday, and Sunday if necessary. 803-0550. Sean in Buffalo is up next. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Real quick, I just wanted to check with you on the Kevin Adams senior advisor situation with the Sabres. I looked at it less like Kevin Adams understudy and more like an efficiency expert coming in like the Bobs in Office Space. What do you guys think about that? As somebody who's going to say, like, either do it this way or, you know, whether it's, I don't really like the 75-year-old comment clinging, you know, from some 20-year-old punk. I think that's a little age discriminatory, though. Could be 75 years old, might be able to run circles around you, young lad. But I'll just put it to you this way, is they need somebody because it's a mess over there. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Someone to basically be the advisor over top of Adams. I mean, I think senior advisor is just
no one.
Honestly,
no one,
the way the role is talked about, it sounds like the kind of thing they should have done the day he was hired.
Yes,
and again, the way that it's talked about is just the reporting that the Sabres have been reaching out potentially for senior advisor kind of roles, consultants. You think I'm kidding about the Marner thing? Chris Pronger, does he want to be the GM? I always ask this to Joe. Does Ryan Miller want the job? I'm still kind of stuck there. We'll see if anything happens on that front.
What's the legality of hiring a player's agent as a GM? Can you do that?
Marner?
Well,
does Mitch Marner want to be the senior advisor to the
Sabres? The Knicks did that. Leon Rose was a big agent in the league and then became the general manager, and then they got good because he got good players that liked Leon Rose.
Yeah, there are a couple guys that have gone the agent to front office route.
Mm-hmm.
Kent Hughes in Montreal was that, mm-hmm. right? He was massively successful so far.
I just
one more. Bob Myers.
Yes.
The Warriors GM was an agent. He went from an agent to front office to now media. NBA analyst. Listen, there are worse ideas than hiring an agent.
Yeah, they just, I don't know. I'm of the mind that whoever they get is not really good. I just don't know anybody credible that's going to decide that they're going to be an assistant to somebody that's probably going to lose his job in 12 months.
Well, unless they make the playoffs.
Maybe that might be a selling point, to be honest. If I get in here, maybe I can convince the owner that I'm the next guy. I don't know.
803-0550. Rob Pelinka, another one there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we find our new plan. There you go, Sabres.
Agent
yes.
Turned front office.
Yes. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Rob Pelinka, from executive to agent to GM. All right, 803-0550, our phone number. Speaking of basketball, we're going to do some basketball chatter at 9 o'clock, previewing the Eastern Conference Finals. You got to get everybody on your Knicks train here.
Not a problem.
Yeah?
I'll get them going today.
All right.
I'll get them going.
And we'll look back. I heard Sal playing some clips yesterday of like the, what year, 1994?
Well, the last time that they played
in the Eastern Conference Final?
Well, I think it was 99.
99, okay.
Yeah. That would have been the year Allen Houston.
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson and Ewing both didn't play in Game 7
series. That's Larry Bird is the manager.
Yes.
Or is the coach, rather.
Yep.
94 is when Reggie Miller scores 9 points in 9 seconds.
Correct.
Yeah. Peak.
Yeah.
Peak stuff.
And he's calling the game tonight in New York.
That's good stuff.
And this happened last year. The Knicks were super shorthanded. Bunch of guys injured. Indiana ends up winning that game, and then they go to the Eastern Conference Final last year.
So the round before.
Yes, in the second round. And they had chance in MSG.
At Reggie.
Bleep you, Reggie.
Yeah.
And you know what Reggie said in the lead up to that game? He goes, you know, aren't you a little concerned? You're going to be calling a game in New York? Aren't you worried? He goes, I've owned that city and that team my entire career. You think I'm scared to walk into New York? And the whole arena, after the announcements of the players, got into an FU Reggie cheer. It's going to be electric.
I hope to get one of those tonight.
Me too.
Be pretty fun. Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, joins us at 9 o'clock to preview tonight's Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final in the NBA between the Pacers and the Knicks. Very fun. Jeremy and Joe, Nate's in for Joe today. You can join us on the phones, 803-0550 here on WGR.
NFL geography. Here's the clue. It's the state with the lowest population density that's home to an NFL team. 30 seconds. Good luck.
Lowest population density that has an NFL team. That's a good question. Make this instant trivia. Yeah, play the song one more time. okay. My, do you have a knee-jerk answer that you want to give? I do too.
New England.
No.
Because they're at Foxborough, no?
That's in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. It's state.
State.
Okay. Okay.
The yes. lowest state population density. So my knee-jerk reaction is Denver, Colorado. That's my big state, a lot of space out there.
Right.
I mean, these states are going to have big cities. But what state has the lowest population density for an NFL team?
Someone did answer that last night.
Okay. But I mean, hold on. I'm thinking here.
Hey,
Give me a minute.
30 seconds on Jeopardy. I'm giving you a lot more time.
That's a good point.
Could it be Tennessee? And Tennessee has a couple big cities. It's not that big of a state.
What about Green Bay?
We should be Wisconsin? Doesn't it feel like we should be thinking Electoral College here?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. And I feel like Green Bay. I'm thinking of the Steve Kornacki maps right now.
Wisconsin has a big number. Or it's just a swing state, maybe. Lowest population density. Like Arizona, Denver. I'm thinking of the big states. Maybe it's... Is it Seattle? These are all possibly horrible answers.
Yeah, I think you have to think of states with basically one metro.
Yeah.
That's...
If Colorado's wrong. I mean, Colorado's got others. Colorado's...
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild... All the weird.
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Springs in Boulder and...
Yeah, that's why it's like Wisconsin feels...
Minnesota? Boy, it's a tough question.
It's actually a very tough question.
I'm
going to
need two final answers from you here.
All right.
Final answers. My final answer is, boy, it's tough.
Mine's Kansas City.
Ooh. My final answer is the Raiders.
Wow.
At the buzzer. Way to go.
Duh. Las Vegas.
Vegas. The Raiders. Good question.
Yeah.
Jeopardy. I would not have got it in 30 seconds.
No.
All three people got it wrong. There was Colorado, Minnesota, and Wisconsin.
Okay, those were the three guesses.
So we were where we needed to be.
We were guessing in the neighborhood. Good trivia question. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Talking about the NFL, potential rule changes. We haven't talked much about the tush push, which could be banned today. I don't expect it. I'd be happy if it was.
Also, a nugget from Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts this morning.
On the Sabres?
Yes.
Should we get it when we get back?
Yes.
Is it good?
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's no senior advisor update, if that's what you were looking for.
It's Mitch Marner is shopping in Buffalo for real estate.
Looking at real estate in Orchard Park.
All right, we'll mix that in. Jeremy and Joe, Nate is in for Joe today here on WGR.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.